Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
That's flight 00H165. Please approach the gates. Your flight is now ready for boarding. Chip.
You're listening new now to Out of Home Podcast.
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast. Are you locked into the Out of Home Podcast?
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast featuring Kieran, Kwame, Yas, and Stephen. You and them boys are crazy.
Oh, God. Anyways, it's fine. Like, we can do whatever we need to do.
Stephen, who would be your dream manager? Or, yeah.
That's to a rap label.
Yeah.
Oh, rap label. Or just general.
Or just mentor. Who's your dream mentor?
Okay, if it goes sporting wise, it'd be a mixture of Sir Alex Ferguson and Jose Mourinho.
Oh my goodness.
These are good managers.
Yeah, very good managers. If we're going music wise, what's the guy that managed Michael Jackson?
Managed or looked like or arranged Thriller. There's two different things.
No. Who arranged Thriller?
Quincy Jones.
Oh, yeah. I'll take a bit of Quincy.
Is it a cake, fam?
Yeah, take a bit of Quincy. Yeah, like it's a portion of rice.
How do you not know? First of all, if you wanted him to be your manager, how do you not know it's Quincy Jones?
Yeah. No, it's a jet lag, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stephen,
for the first time used correctly on this podcast.
For potential new listeners, can you please explain that joke?
Hey, can't you see I'm coming to America? Like Eddie Murphy, I have not only come to America, but I've been to the other side and I've come back out a changed man.
A changed man.
Oh, I can't wait to
change. Oh my gosh.
We'll definitely get onto that.
I'm a Portland Timber now.
Sit down.
I was hoping you'd catch a game out there, bro. Like MLS, NBA.
Fam, every night out was a game, fam. Okay, for that Dame.
Hey, Stephen, did you spend time downtown in Portland?
Downtown or uptown was, it's not, I was out here. It felt pretty low, so I'd say I was downtown.
This
guy's a fool.
Is that that rooftop bar still there? On top of the hotel?
Oh, no, but it was locked off. They wouldn't let us go. But my room was on the 14th, and it was on the 15th, and they said that it was renovations. But we found another rooftop, which was nice vibes, actually. A lot of concrete and dysfunction to see.
Sure. I said a lot of concrete and dysfunction, yeah.
but it was good to be in America. Oh, America. We haven't even started. So what are we? I don't even... You've been away so long, I don't even know what we're listening to.
Very nice. Very nice.
Where the fuck do I begin?
I like the quarterbacking that you're on. See what I did there, guys?
Watch a
lot of
NFL.
Man, if you're listening, you're listening to the Out of Home Podcast, a show brought to you by four Londoners, capturing and sharing stories of inspiring people while sharing our own. In a building, across two buildings, for the first time in a long time, you've got myself, Key. Next to Yaffa Federer. He's just come back. Yaffa Nadal. He's just come from Paddle. Because do you see what I did there? I mixed the names because Paddle and all of that is a mixture of things.
I hear it.
Over there in the +31 operations, you've got Kwame and Stephen, the boy from Portland.
On a +1 team, fam. Really? All American. High school. That's how I roll, fam.
What? This guy.
Hey?
I can't wait to dive into this, man. I really cannot wait.
No, but we're just chatting about something. Kwame, who would you want?
I'm interested to know who Kwame is. Yeah. And I feel like it's going to be Pep Guardiola, but I can't wait to hear.
But we were talking about music, though.
Okay, music.
I was going to say something from The Guardian,
Been there, done there, innit, Kwame?
No, not even though. To music, who would I want to be my manager or my label owner?
Lou Bega.
No, bro. But shout out to Lou Bega. Yeah. I watched this video the other day on Sunday. Yeah, anyways, music, let me think. Music, who would give me the best push? Like, who wouldn't Birdman. Be selfish? No, man, because I'll be in 2 years, I'll be asking him for some money back like, through the courts, bro. He has a long list of producers that didn't get paid, fam. No, you know what? You know who actually would think it would give me a good boost? Rick Ross.
Rick Ross?
Rick Ross. Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of look like Meek Mill still.
This guy, bro.
I feel you. Maybach music. That's what you want. That's why you want to like, Maybach.
Like, what do you call it? Wale at that time wasn't on his best path. Yeah. And Meek, he allowed him to blossom, innit, bro? He could get in the room to grow. I don't think he was an overbearing CEO.
Fair.
So, yeah, I would say Ross, bro. And also, I think he would buy me a lot of, like, ranges and truck for my birthday. So, that's a great thing, man.
That's not a bad shout. And then sport-wise, who would you say?
No, I think Pep would be too intense for me. But I actually think that Pep would make me a better player.
I feel like you're a Klopp man, Kwame. I feel like Klopp would get the best out of you, man.
George Graham, mate. Old school.
I'm gonna say, even though it's a bit dated, I'm gonna say Arsene, man. Arsene, we trust. Yeah. Okay. Like as a young up and coming player, I think he would help me out.
What about you, Yaf?
I don't know who would be a good manager for me, but I know who'd be a good mentor.
Okay. He's always changing the rules, isn't
it? I know.
I feel like...
The artful dodger, man.
I feel like if I wanted to seek mentorship, I would almost like have a combination of Maverick Carr and Rich Paul.
And I knew he was going to the US. I knew he was going over there as well, you know.
That's nice, good though.
Because they're just so sick at what they do.
They are.
They've built a legacy around, obviously, a once-in-a-generation player who's LeBron James. But they kind of did it on their own terms and they've just done amazing stuff. I really look up to what they've done, so.
Yeah, for real.
It'll be those two.
That's sick, man.
How about you, K?
Off air, so I said that. Yeah.
Go on, you got bicep. Where did that come from?
He's been swinging a racket around for 3 weeks, Stephen.
Hey, it's a couple of months. Respect the journey.
Shout out to DJ Drama.
I've got shoes and everything now, bro.
He's got paddles. He's got paddle shoes.
It's basically just clay court tennis shoes. But yes, I do. And I've got a racket. It's like swinging for 3 weeks.
Yo, you know, this is why I love Yaf, bro.
Respect the journey,
this is why I love Yaf. When Yaf finds something, he goes in wholeheartedly.
10 toes.
Wholeheartedly, bro. Oh, yeah. I'm surprised he hasn't gone to South Africa yet to listen to I'm a Piano.
Like, 2 foot tackle things, isn't it? 2 foot tackle, bro.
Boom,
in there.
When Yaf finds something he likes, man is in. Yes, 2-footed. Head first, bruv. Man's got shoes and the racket, bro. Yeah.
So what examples are we drawing off here?
I'm a Piano.
Oh, that was a big one. That was
Ramen.
Ramen. No.
No, no, no.
But even still.
No.
Even still.
Terrible example, Kwame.
There's some countries that you visited, if you're the first one to discover them, shout out to the pilgrims, where you come back like, with stories of like, I found me a new land. You ain't going to believe what you're going to see there. You wait till you get on the other side of the hill. You ain't going to believe it. I've never seen butter like that.
He's back.
You're an idiot.
He's back, man.
Take off your hood, you little Brixton top cap, bruv.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. What about when you found the Bugles and the cheese thing in Amsterdam?
Oh, we need to set context. So Bugles are basically hollow cone-shaped crisps.
Yeah.
That are slightly cheesy flavoured.
Yeah.
And if you accompany them with a cream cheese-like substance. I can't remember what the name or the brand in Amsterdam. It's Gouda. Probably the best snack. Because it's a hollow cone, and you're dipping it in into the cream cheese, and it fills the cone. Oh, it is delightful.
There you go. And he can sell it, too.
So good.
He can sell it,
but
too.
Nothing will top Favoritos.
Favoritos.
The Haribo thing.
Oh, yes. Is it the Haribo thing?
Yes.
It's the all-star game of sweets,
bro. I put him onto those, by the way.
No. Hey, I put you onto those.
Don't do that.
I put you onto those. Because they used to sell them in Dirk.
Don't do that.
You put me onto the car things. You know the thing that comes in a little box.
Auto drops.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Which is such a dead concept for a sweet, by the way. You have a sweet.
Hey, but they're banged, though.
In the shape of a car, bro.
Auto drops are banging, bro.
Such a dead name as well. Auto drops, blood.
Man said, oh, it's ready, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
What a rambunctious start, innit?
Wait, hold on, Kay, your manager.
Oh, yeah, my manager. I said off air, J. Cole. But then I heard what you guys were talking, and I wanted to go, okay, J. Cole's not an established CEO of a company, even though he is the figurehead of Dreamville.
Yeah, okay.
And I wouldn't mind being underneath their wing. Wink, wink. so dumb, innit? But if I was going to be signed by anybody and it was in music, do you know what, yeah? I'm gonna take a very a wide one, yeah, or a different type of route. I'd be signed to So Def.
Okay.
Or I know I don't suit their thing, yeah. But if RZA from Wu-Tang was my guy and he believed in me, bruv, I'm going to the hills, bro. I'm going to the mountain.
No, that's where you would go, and that's where he will leave you, because you have to train. you have to train and record every day in the Japanese mountains at 17 degrees, and you won't come down to your album finish,
but
bro.
My Shaolin sword would be sick, and fam.
And your beard would be like shaggy and craggy, fam. No,
oh, bro.
The hills, fam.
No, RZA. I've been watching so much of the Wu-Tang American Saga. It's actually so sick, man. I'm like
it's
three
amazing,
seasons
but
in.
Like, this first season, they have like every other episode, they have this kind of like fantasy where
but you know what I was thinking, Kwame, I was thinking that they might, because it's the final season, the directors might be like, oh, we want to showcase all of the things that we could potentially do, so like once this is done we can jump onto another projects, innit?
Maybe. Okay, that's true.
Maybe, innit? I was thinking about that, actually.
Interesting theories from the men.
What do you call it? A portfolio padding.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So they could be like, oh, we've done this episode. We can go into this genre or this film or this genre. So it's interesting. I think they're doing it as well to kind of, like, move the story along too quickly. Yeah. Like, there's so much stuff. I sat and watched, like, YouTube videos of Wu-Tang today. Bruv, I never really dug into them that much. Their shit slaps.
It slaps, bruv.
It slaps. Anyhow, and then sporting manager, I'd probably go for same as Kwame, man.
Sadix?
Arsenal, man. Arsenal or Arteta? Arteta seems to have the young guns firing.
I would love to have Pep, though, I can't lie.
I feel like me and Pep would butt heads.
But you would learn so much.
I know I wouldn't butt heads because I'd have to listen to him. He's obviously telling everything. Get me. Do you know what? I also watched a Mourinho doc the other day. That man is I've got way more respect for him now.
He lost his way a little bit, but he's a top class.
I've got way more respect for him now that he's not competing against us all the time and all of that. But he did something for his players, man.
Yeah, he did.
Bro, he called Arsene Wenger specialist in failure.
Yeah.
And then after he also said Wenger talking about some complaint. He said Arsene Wenger is a voyeur, someone that would be in their balcony looking at other people's houses like through their binoculars, and it's like,
remember when he drew out Antonio Conte?
What did he say?
Because Conte had a hair transplant. He drew him out. Oh, I'm gonna find the quote.
Oh,
watch this space.
Oh my gosh,
bro.
Oh my
and
gosh.
After, I also remember one time when. Because him and Benitez have this kind of prickly relationship because Benitez copies him, follows him after every job he goes and does a bad job. And at one time, his wife was complaining about Mourinho's, like, tactics. And then Jose Mourinho said, his wife needs to stop complaining about me and think about her husband's diet because he's heavily overweight.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible, man.
Or when he did a run of the ball where he said, statistically, Frank Duhal, statistically, the worst manager in Premier League history. And he said, yes, if Marcus Rashford wasn't my manager, I went to learn under Frank Duhal, he'd learn how to be a failure. Because that's what he is, a failure. I was just like...
This guy is just pulling people's funny bone left, right, and centre.
He went in.
But we're going to start this how we start.
Basically, Conte said something a little snidey. And he said, I can answer in many ways, but I'm not going to lose my hair to speak about Antonio's comments. He's such a troll.
That's terrible, man. That's terrible. I mean, there's been a lot of smiles and laughter already, but it wouldn't be official if we didn't ask each other what made each other smile. So I'm going to kick it to the man over there in Amsterdam first and ask Stephen. And ask Stephen, what has been making you smile, Stephen, as you rock back and forth as if you were listening to, I don't know, some
Midwest
lullaby?
Swing.
by the looks of things.
Midwest. I broke out of the continent.
Are you a prisoner?
I made it to the States, that concrete jungle where dreams are made of. I made it to Portland, Oregon, on the East Coast.
West Coast.
Goodness me.
And it's also not the concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
It definitely broke out of it. And this that's London. Concrete jungle where dreams are made is a reference to New York, surely.
Depends what angle you're looking at.
I know, mate.
Portland, it was nice. I got the YAF KLM experience, which, you know, I was waiting, wondering when I'd be able to go up those pearly stairs. Not the ones to the gates of heaven, because that's a different type of staircase.
Can I ask you a question? Did you have a YAF KLM experience at your first time taking a business class?
It was a smooth experience. So, there were no travel sweats. And as I ascended up that escalator, I swear I just saw Yaf's face at the end of the elevator, just beaming down with pride. And then I felt like I belonged.
He's so dumb.
I felt as I was going up, I was down with downs.
And down with downs.
I felt I really made it. And as they offered me a glass of champers and other confectionery, I was just like, this is Yaf's real life. And I get why you're so calm. I get why you're so jovial. I just wanted you to say, as man to man, I get it.
I get it, fam.
After that, we began a 10-hour descent, 9-hour. Then we stopped off in Seattle to transfer for 1 hour, where we went by a plane which was held by together like a propeller. It was interesting, very Indiana Jones.
Did you go over the Rocky Mountains, Stephen?
Oh, this man.
It's a mad thing, isn't it?
Really?
Did a figure eight through that.
Do you only do that if you stop off in Seattle? Or do you do that if you fly direct as well?
I don't know. I think I stopped in Dallas. And okay. But Rocky Mountain, when you go over the Rocky Mountains, bro, the turbulence is crazy.
Really?
It's ridiculous.
Shit.
It was something to behold. But I braved that and touched down in the land of the Delta Blues in the middle of the pouring rain. Do you know who that was? No, you don't. But yeah, touchdown.
Do you know who it was?
Don't ask me questions. don't be silly.
This guy,
that's how this works. So touchdown in Portland.
Tyrant Tywell, fam. Go on.
So I went to our campus, which was like amazing to be there. First time I've been there in like 8 years. And obviously, when you start, bless you, I guess. When you start the company, it's always like a dream to make it over there touch it, experience it, and all of that. And then, so after 8 years, I had all of these stories. Yaf had been bare times in it.
I'd been before you.
Hey.
Kieran went after like
you. He wasn't asking you. He was asking you from experience, fam. He was asking you from like a seat of knowledge.
It's ready with the dagger, fam. Dagger.
Dagger from free.
Okay. I see you standing next to the Ronaldo statue.
And the pose of the like pretending to kick it was so like the angle just didn't make sense. It didn't, Kwame.
Hey, Stephen, I've never seen. I know you like taking photographs, yeah, but I've never seen you take.
Stephen, like a real Nigerian uncle. Hey, bro,
I ain't seen you take tourist photos like that in my life.
Yeah, trust me.
I'm
help it, fam.
You had to. And then I managed to connect with. What do you say? You have to.
No, you have to.
Oh, I thought you said you have to. That was going to say that's genius. But then, yeah, connected with so many people out there, which was dope. Great conversations. Great to see it. And then, yeah, Portland City is really interesting because it's kind of like. These wastemen.
It makes so much sense. So basically, now.
You're nowhere near the football, bro.
London. Over in London, the boys are having a exhibit A, which is one of Stephen's pictures, where he's trying to mimic the actions of a footballer kicking a ball. But Stephen's
this
Sant is very wrong. It's very wrong.
It's very right. This one, this one was diabolical, bro.
Steven's got his hand up in front of Jordan's hand. A photo of Jordan's hands with his five rings. Six
and
rings.
He only
Steven.
Has two.
And he only has
that he
two.
Paid for. That he paid for. They didn't even win.
The city gave you those.
Oh, I was dying, bro. Your stories keep me entertained, or kept me entertained whilst you were
man,
away,
like,
man.
PDX Pamper,
it was so funny, bro. So funny, so funny.
And then there was the infamous last night, which 12 subscribers to the premium. I can detail that, but for everybody else, we will not be able to go into that. But I read back what I wrote to you guys. I was just like, I can't even imagine what you guys must have been thinking. I'm going to ask you at the end of this what you guys were thinking.
Yeah, all right.
just label that the Pontiac Bandit. So without that, I will pass over to Kwasi Kwarteng.
Thank you. And we're in seconds this time, because last week, Yaf was saying my first touch wasn't patterned. I will catch this and I will continue to play. On Sunday, it was amazing. I went to Permanent for the first time with my wife.
Where's that, mate?
Permanent is just... thank you. It's like a 20-minute drive from Amsterdam. I didn't even tell you, man. First was a scouting session for a potential puppy. We went to see the house. The puppy was cute. It's a carver poo, which like kind of looks like a brown toy poodle or something.
As you mentioned that your manager that you'd like to play under, but as a puppy scout, what do you look for in a puppy?
No, basically you look. We're getting
don't avoid the question.
Yeah. Basically, we look for so something that isn't gonna grow too big, mm-hmm. and also will like take orders. And it's okay to be at home, because I'm not trying to.
Very good.
Yeah, very good. So and after we went to a birthday party of one of Mia's nieces, and after that we went to see her friend Joy, and Joy and Mia are going to Italy, and this is the best bit. It's what made me smile. Are going to Italy in July, you man, in July. Okay, cool. they booked their tickets and the rental car. Okay, and then the plan. Plan of that visit was to pattern where they want to stay, because they're going to, I think, the coast, or like Bari, which is like kind of on the west side or the coastal area. And you, man, it was like it was the NFL draft day, and they were like doing like deep tactics, like deep video session. Like Mia had the laptop on the couch, and like she was casting her screen, her Chrome screen to the big screen TV, and Joy was upright the whole time, like pointing, like it was an army what do you call it, general plotting the path of entry that the troops are gonna take on the next trip in Italy, bro. And I was like, I just kept laughing every hour, like, no, you lot are mocking it. It's not an experiment. She was like, it was crazy. And I was like, you know what? I'm laughing at this, but I'm also amazed at the level of detail. You understand? And like, not to be a generalist, which means I'm going to be a generalist. It's like, I think it was an insight to how we women plan holidays and how men plan holidays.
I was thinking that.
In general.
Bro. I was thinking
just
that.
Just in general, yeah. Women are way more planned than men.
As you said, July, I was thinking, rah, people already booking their holidays.
Yeah, July!
Is it too late for you?
Even little things like Mia was like, oh yeah, I booked it, but I made sure it was after your birthday. And I'm like, you have the hindsight to do that, bro. I would have booked it and been like, fuck.
Foresight, even.
I guess I got, yeah.
Any day can get it. Bro.
What do you call it? I guess I got to miss your birthday, didn't it? You understand? Like, that's what I'm thinking. So that was funny, because like, they were really taking it seriously, as they should. But like, the way they were just looking, and she was like, no, but if you drive here, there will be an hour out, bro, in the middle of nowhere. And nothing was booked. Only one hotel was booked. It's still good. They're only there for a week, by the way. It's not a month. But anyway. And I'll pass it over to my...
But Kwame, quickly.
Oh, go on.
You said that she had Mia had the foresight to not miss your birthday. You wouldn't miss Mia's birthday.
No. I mean, I would have booked it and been like, oh, I wasn't even thinking. And like, me being a man, or me being Kwame, I would have... I hate to, like...
I actually tried to help him clean it up.
Yeah,
he's... No, it's cool. Yeah. I hate to redo stuff, fam. I hate to redo stuff.
Yeah. Like, no, I feel you. I've done many times.
Yeah, so I hate to redo stuff. Like, I remember, like, one time, like... I had to call, like, health insurance. And I was like, yeah, let me do it. I booked it. And Mia's like, oh, yeah, you know what? I already got health insurance. Or I already got house insurance for the house or whatever. And I was like... You mean I now have to call them back
even though it took 20 minutes.
Between your legs.
Yeah, I just feel like we entered an agreement. Like, now it feels so... Like, I've even had it sometimes when I've had clothes that I haven't really hated, but I want to take them back. I was like, bro, I was like...
Yeah, slow.
Oh yeah, I'm the same when it comes to returning clothes. I don't think guys return clothes that much.
Meanwhile, again, we ain't trying to generalize here. I've seen many a woman like stock buy.
Oh yeah,
hella stuff like three different sizes of each.
Yeah,
I could never, bro.
Like for me, I'm like, nah, I'm just gonna buy
like
this,
20
this,
items,
this.
You know,
yeah,
of
yeah.
ASOS.
A big haul, innit?
Big haul, bro.
Big haul, bro. Big haul. Big haul, and then send
Bare
back
contraband.
Send back maybe 19 of those things. Bear, I'm just like, I like this, I like that, I like that.
I do think there are a little fundamental differences between men and women.
100%,
you know,
100%, 100%, man. Some things I feel like we should just learn from them.
Trust me. Sometimes Abby will say something as in like, why didn't you just do it like that?
Mm.
And I just say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you think it takes you bare long to answer because you're trying to do the maths in your head. Like, why didn't I think about this? Like, it just didn't come into my head.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Me and Yaf were talking last week, yeah? And I was saying to him, sometimes I just don't even like admitting when he's right, bruv. Because do you know why? He'll never tell you. He'll never do the, I told you so. He'll just be like, he'll just shrug. Yeah. He'll just shrug.
Oh, that face is old, it? With that face?
He'll just shrug.
What's the face? What's the face? What's the face, you waste fan?
Yeah. Bottom lip protruding a little bit.
A little bit.
I just thought that the right here, though, trust me. No, but you, man. What was making you, man, smile over there?
Pick your target, bro.
Okay. You little, what do you call it, paddle prince? You know, like, have your, what do you call it? Have your swing at it, innit, big man? Have your swing at it.
Yeah, that wasn't great. You've got to turn your body to the side before you smash. But
look at you.
We'll get there.
Look at you. Hey, guys, first of all, before you go, sorry. We need to learn how to play paddle soon. Because he's had 4 months or 2 months or however long he's had.
However long he's had to be serious, to buy paddle shoes and a racket.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what it is? He wants to play us soon. So, bro, find the paddle. Find the paddle court. Play. Do something. Do something. Because the moment we play Yaf, bro, I'm going to tell you a story. Sorry, if I'm walking all over you, what made you smile, sorry, man? Bro. I'm gonna tell you a story. This is why. we went. Do you know what I'm gonna say?
I don't know yet. All right.
This will give away. We went to Steph's party, I think 2 years ago. I can't remember what the place is called yet. But it was, you know, the football thing where in London.
Talker Social.
Yeah.
And. We I think I did win the first game.
What's Talker Social?
Talker Social, yeah, is it's like an interactive football game where the board in front of you has like targets, but you play with a physical ball in it, so you get to lick down the targets with a real ball
on like a touchscreen.
Yeah. So obviously we went. Well, not obviously, but we went for Steph's birthday. And I know in both of our hearts and minds, we're like, we're not losing. We're not losing this thing. Do you know what I'm saying? And quiet is kept. I'm a very competitive person. But again, I don't let it be known that I'm being competitive because I don't like losing that much, innit? But first game came around. I did really well. I think even you did as well, yeah. I think it was like one and two.
What does that mean?
One and two. So I was one, Yaf was two. But as the day went on or the night went on, my form slipped and Yaf continued to get better. But he didn't. Bruv, when I tell you, he didn't celebrate. He just didn't. Until the last one, he's like, yes! And I knew he had kept it in the whole way through. And it was frustrating me because I was watching him play. I was like, bruv, just mess up once. Mess up once, isn't it? This is why we have to go and play paddle soon, bruv. We need to go play paddle soon because if this guy continues to have a head start on us, it's long. It's actually, let's play bowling.
Oh yeah, bowling, yeah, I can do that.
Anyway, sorry, bro.
Very important story. What made me smile this week is I took some time to reflect. I feel like not many people have this luxury. I took some time to reflect, chill, rest and recuperate. Booked a holiday for just after Easter.
Oh.
Gonna go to Lisbon.
Exclusive.
Gonna go to Lisbon with the missus. Shut down Lisbon.
Pink Street.
Gonna be there, bro.
Yeah.
Visit a couple castles.
Love
all of that good stuff.
Sintra. Yeah, Sintra castles.
Gonna be all up in there.
Yeah.
Eat some, good food. So yeah, what made me smile in a short and sweet nutshell is that I feel like I had time to reassess and realign.
Nice.
We had a nice conversation yesterday.
We did.
So yeah. Feel a bit more grounded.
I like that, man. I like that for you.
Thank you, my friend.
And I'm very glad that you've booked a holiday and given us the exclusive on the podcast. Short and sweet, my friends. I have been grinning ear to ear this whole week because in 2 days' time, I shall be boarding a plane with my passport to the United States of America and going to North Carolina to sign with J. Cole. No, I'm going to Dreamville Fest and I've been looking forward to it.
Incredible. What's Dreamville Fest, bro?
Dreamville Fest is the annual Dreamville Festival that J. Cole has been putting on in his hometown, or his home city, North Carolina. Not his hometown. His hometown is actually Fayetteville, but it's in the main city of North Carolina, Raleigh.
You know his stuff. I do.
And J. Cole will be headlining. Usher will be headlining. Drake shall be there. Burner Boy shall be there. Ari Star will be there. Yeah.
But this lineup sounding like on par with Coachella.
It's lit. Sean Paul will be there. Sir will be there. Omen and Lute will be there. A lot of my favorites. Ari Lennox will be there. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
Wow.
That festival. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah. Aaron Lennon will not be there.
Aaron Lennon. Shout out the plug. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so we've done our round of what made you smile. I don't know if you guys have checked the group chat to see the update. However, I did have a topic that I would like to bring to the group, if you shall allow me the honour to do so.
Let's put it to a vote, Najee.
Oh, yeah, what's all this? But there's no mention of the topic. It's just that you have a topic.
Yeah. It's a how's your touch situation one more time.
Ooh.
Last one. Okay, so...
Kwame does not seem excited at how's your touch. His eyes was rolling.
Don't worry. We got some ways to prepare it or not.
I'm good.
If not. But the thing that I wanted to talk about today was something that I feel... a lot of people, especially this year, are feeling. The reason why I feel a lot of people are thinking or in this space or feeling like this is because there's a lot of things that are not in our control, whether that's job stuff, whether that's financial stuff, whether it's just macro things that are totally, that we totally can't influence that are affecting our day-to-day lives. So the thing that I wanted to talk about today was uncertainty. And I think we all have our levels of uncertainty in our lives. So I kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit, but then also understand how you guys deal with it, because there's a lot of people in my life right now that are going through uncertain times or uncertainty. And just wanted to dive into that topic a little bit, unpack it, and get you guys' opinion on it. So let me be direct and ask a direct question to get the ball rolling. How do you guys approach uncertainty, and what does it mean to you? You can reference real life stories, you can reference whatever you want to do, but I just wanted to unpack it with the mandem.
It's a really good topic.
I thought about all my drive here.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that this is something that, even though it was in a short time, because it doesn't take that long to get from where you live to where I live. Bro, not gonna.
That is
apparently it's quick.
Still in South London. another stretch of the imagination. But I feel like it, as you said, it's something that is on a lot of our minds. I think off the back of COVID and just life in general, we've kind of been running a simulation of uncertainty for about 3-4 years, knowingly. Because I feel like we live in uncertain times all the time, but I think it's just in your face all the time now, isn't it? And I think also getting to the ages that we are, like, there's more, I don't want to say risk, more opportunity for uncertainty to just be placed in your lap. From a young age, you have, like, you know what you're going to be doing. You go to school, you come home, you might have some activities, you go to like high school or secondary school, you do that, and then you make a decision of whether or not you go to like university or whatever you're trying to do.
But there's a framework.
Right? And then you get that uncertain time of like your early 20s, and then you're like, all right, I'm going to maybe try my hand at this like job or like this passion that I have, and then you just kind of dance around trying to make it in whatever you're doing. Then you hit a certain point in your life where you're almost at a crossroads, or life hands you a card, isn't it, or deals a card, and you have to play the cards out in front of you. And I find, like, I'm going to use myself as an example. I find that, like, in uncertain times, I think I find the best of myself. I stress a lot. I realized like recently. So, to hinge this or to underpin what I'm about to say, I was made redundant from my job in February, right? So, the reason why I came to London was to work at said company in a specific role, and I was there for 2 years, and then my job became surplus to requirements, right?
Like, unexpectedly as well.
Oh, yeah, like...
You just went into the office on a normal day.
Oh, bro, there was no warning. There was no warning. There was no, like, oh, this is what's happening in the company. It was like, you have a meeting in half an hour. Could you come in? And then I found out that I didn't have a job anymore and that I would have to leave the premises immediately, right?
Was that the first time this ever happened to you?
First time this ever happened to me in a corporate setting, not in a live context. Mm. Sport, football. It happened to me when I was playing football for Palace. And I think, like, when I was 18, I think that was a much more uncertain time for me because it was like, this is what I wanted to do. Right, I wanted to play football, so I had to figure out like what I was going to do after that. But this time, I think I kind of saw it as an opportunity. Like, I genuinely saw it as like, oh, okay, like, cool. It kind of gave me this feeling of, oh, shit, there's so much I can potentially do. The opportunities for my potential was like, went through the roof. And then it took me a little while to kind of sit with it. Because at first it was a shock. I was like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do?
First thing you do is like, yeah, you ask yourself that question.
Yeah, so like I think in uncertain times, my immediate response was, how do I shore up myself for like the future? So you go into survival mode, you know? So I went straight into survival mode. And my way of surviving through that period was take time, process, then... attack. It wasn't like because I initially thought let me sit down and just wait and see, but then I was like, no, let's just prepare yourself, innit? Like, you don't know how long, you don't know where your next job's gonna come. But
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
But as long as you can put parameters in the first couple of weeks, when you're ready to look for something, because obviously during redundancy you get paid a certain amount of time. As when I'm ready to look for something, I can then say, okay, cool, I'm ready to do it. So I had a few meetings in the first few weeks, and they went really well because there's a lot of people like in my network. I found out I had a really like dope network, and I think I didn't realize that was something that I had because I spent so much time in like in the same places sort of thing. I went from one place to work to another place to work to another. I worked in three places over the course of an 8-year career in creative and advertising, and then I realized I had this dope network of people. And then it was like, oh, this shit's overwhelming. There's so much like people reaching out, and I'm grateful for that. Like, don't ever take that in a type of way where I didn't. And then I think, I'm talking around in circles a little bit, but the way that I feel like uncertainty works for me is that I kind of look at it and say, okay, what are you going to do about it? And I think some people have different responses. That's interesting. Do you know what I mean? Like, whenever I'm in an uncertain time, it's like, how do we fix this? Straight away, potentially, you know? So, yeah.
And I think you've attacked and you've done really well. Obviously, we know the ins and outs of your situation. And thank you for being transparent.
Yeah, of course.
As well, by the way. How about you, man?
When I'm in the throes of it, I do. You know, today I wrote that's like this phrase that's not used enough. When you're in the throes of or the thick of something, I'm always wondering, okay, what's it gonna be like when I get out of it? And I'm always like, when it's gonna happen, I'm just not sure when. Do you understand? So, you know, like a lot of times it could be health. A lot of times it could be uncertainty with jobs. A lot of times it could be like relationships or friendships. It's like, okay, this is a bit mad, but I always think and hope for a positive ending. And if it's not a positive ending, then you also have to deal with that. Do you understand? Like, and it's like, no, a certainty definitely makes you think of like negative, positive stuff. And you hope for a positive outcome. But if something negative happens, then that is certain. Then there you have to like deal with the aftermath. I've dealt with the aftermath. And Kieran even inspired me, but I haven't announced it on the podcast. In January, I lost my mother-in-law.
Say again, bro. Say again.
In January, I lost my mother-in-law. My wife's mother passed away untimely. And, you know, we were praying for, you know, a different ending, a different outcome, sorry. And then when it was made certain, it's like, okay, so this is the worst thing we would have hoped for. But now we have to deal with this. We're still dealing with it, and it's a real process. And, you know, it's very tough to be going through and see someone you love so much go through what she's going through, and also feel a connection that I've lost as well. So you're dealing with that, and then people ask all the time, like, how is she? How is she? How is she? It's like, yo, she's certainly not fine. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. But she's not. She's doing okay. Mm-hmm. That's just an example that I can use from this year. Mm-hmm. But like, there are others. Like, you know, I've had instances with family members or friends that have gone a certain way. And it's like, okay, wasn't expecting that, but I have to pivot. And it's like, but in the end, I will say to people, like, in the end, not a lot. In the end, like, things change, but your outlook often doesn't. Because you just have to get, You just have to, because like you just have to get on with it. You understand? Like, unfortunately, life goes on in it. That once again, I'm not being ironic, but that's a certainty. So whatever happens, you just have to keep it moving. It sounds a bit, what's the word? Hyper and a bit like I'm trying to get over something, or like you're trying to, you know what I mean? What's the word? You're not rushing through life, but it's the only constant in life is time.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's what you have to deal with. I was wondering if Stephen or Yaf, if you might want to pick it up.
I need to hear Stephen's point of view. I must.
Well, I'm going to weave in a topic I wanted to cover anyway, because I'm built like that. But it's funny that you mentioned uncertainty. I was reading a lot this week about the AI industry and how that is causing people a lot of uncertainty and anxiety with this new technology and how it's being used. And I think the funny thing about uncertainty is that it's just to observe people's reaction to it. So in the AI industry, people are able to kind of put out or kind of duplicate famous artist songs, but in a different way. So you wouldn't actually be able to tell that it's that artist. And this is kind of causing a lot of disruption because people are like, what does this mean for the music industry? So it's causing a little bit of uncertainty and people aren't sure of kind of like where their job stability is going to be and things like that. So like you have one set of people actually saw the opportunity in it, which is why they went and developed all of this, have been like playing around and manipulating the technology in order to advance their future and take advantage of it. And then you have others who are kind of a bit pensive about it, a bit worried about it. So it's always interesting in terms of uncertainty how people react to different things. But what I would say is that you cannot spell uncertainty without certainty. So I always start off with the things that I know. And start with what you know, and then build the little stepping stones from what you know. So, and then also getting defensive. And what I mean by defensive is like protecting yourself or as much as you can. So, like if something's uncertain, you look at like, okay, what are things that are risky, or what are the things that are most at risk for you, and then how can you minimize that risk? And then the other practical point is planning. It's just like the more planning or actually no knowledge, the more you know about something, the less uncertain it becomes. So in like I gave the example from the AI industry, a lot of people who are kind of panicking are actually the people that don't know so much about it. And the ones that have seen the opportunity in it are the people that have taken the time to learn about it, what it can do, what it can't do, and then ultimately what it can do for them. So I think in all things, like, knowledge is power, and I think knowledge is a great way to kind of reduce the impact of uncertainty. But there'll definitely be times when everybody's feeling uncertain and afraid. But like those would be the main ways that I would say is like gather more knowledge, protect yourself, and start with the things that you do know or the things that are certain, and use those as stepping stones to confidence. And then my web seminar will be out on all platforms for those who want to subscribe, like or share. And that's it for me. Back to you guys in the studio.
It's funny. It's a funny one. When I was on the way here, I was just thinking about what does it mean to me, and when have I been faced with it. And Kieran touched on something when he said, when you're younger, you don't really have too much uncertainty because your parents sort of pick up that load for you. So everything's kind of, I mean, we're privileged that everything's kind of guaranteed. You know, you're gonna have there's gonna be food on the table. You don't have to worry about what to cook, all of that stuff. Like you're pretty set. And then as you navigate through life and you become older and you get more responsibilities, that's where uncertainty kind of weaves in. Like you going through your house process, getting housed.
Yeah.
Shitload of uncertainty there.
Here too.
Yeah, Kwame as well, you know, like speaking about your job thing. I mean, I'm sure we've all here been a part of a reorg at work, right? I think we all have. Like that is the most gut-wrenching time. Because it's literally your financial security is on the line. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to be able to plan for the next X amount of months because you might not have a job. So I feel like the more responsibilities you get and the more you want to try to plan out your life is when uncertainty kicks in. I do want to say that we're in a really tough period, man. And I feel as though you feel it here more in the UK than in the Netherlands. Like, the Netherlands is definitely shielded from that a little bit, I believe.
I'm not sure. Make a point.
We don't understand the letters that come through the post, but I'm sure if I did...
I was actually going to make a similar sort of, like, comment on it, Stephen. It's like, the privilege that you have living in Amsterdam, not speaking the language, is that, like, you're not up to date with the news unless you know someone who's in the community. You don't necessarily know what your letters are saying. Like, you don't know the sentiment of the people you're around if you're just walking into, like, an Albert Heijn or a Dirk, you know? So, like, you do have that sheltered, like, existence where you kind of have this ignorance is bliss sort of feeling to it. But, and I noticed that when I came back home during COVID, and obviously Amsterdam has a population of, what, 900,000 when there's not, like, people there? Is it? Am I right? Yeah, almost a million, or 1.1 million or something like that, right? But, like, when the tourists aren't around, no one's really in the town centre. So it was actually very empty. And then I remember coming back home to London, and it was like I'd gone back in time. Do you know what I mean? It was like, what is going on? But then you feel it here. You really do, even to the point where, like, I think we were chatting about, like, the buildings in London feel completely different to Amsterdam. Like, there's this level of, like, it feels almost, like, oppressive. Like, yeah. It's grey here. Like, you just feel it. So to back up the point that Stephen was making, I think there's a blissfulness of being, like, a Londoner living abroad and not being able to necessarily, like, understand what the sentiment is.
That's for sure. I do think there is just the sheer fact that the Netherlands is one of the richest countries in the world.
And the fifth most best place to live in the world, apparently.
Yeah, if you want to stay happy. But, like, just little things like safety.
Yeah.
Netherlands is safe. There's a lot less drug addiction than in the UK or in London. Like, bro, people broke into the restaurant opposite my house.
What?
To steal 3 bottles of alcohol recently.
3 bottles of alcohol?
I mean, that stuff is... It may happen in Amsterdam, but I definitely ain't seeing or hearing about it. Do you know what I mean? So, trust me. So, trust me. Like,
also,
like,
you've gone through that much, like, bro, take more stuff.
Take more!
Yeah, please. Make it worth your while. Because if you get caught, don't let it be 3 bottles of alcohol, innit?
Bruv, so...
Sorry.
I just wanted to kind of build the point that I think in general there are a lot of people who are really stuck right now and are really wondering, like, where the hell was this? Where are things going? Especially financially. I mean, I was speaking to a guy literally on the plane. Speaking to a guy on the plane when I was returning from Amsterdam recently, and he's the founder of a company that makes sustainable buildings. And it's been in business for 17 years, and he was saying that there are almost like 3 different lanes when it comes to his finances, because there's one where it's like shit's going to hit the fan and he's going to really have to, like, have a contingency plan for it. There's he can ride the wave and then, you know, he'll get back to profitability at one point. And then the third was like, there might be a huge opportunity on the horizon, and if I can hit that opportunity, I will be gone clear. So even him as a business owner, who people will probably associate with, like, yeah, he's in a good position, whatever, there's a lot of uncertainty, like, across the board. And I think it's just a feeling that a lot of people have, but I don't know if everyone's talking about how they deal with it.
Yeah, I think...
Because it's tough.
I said something the other day. It's just like a little comment I made. But being an adult is drama, man. There's a lot of drama to, like, growing up and being an adult.
Especially if you're responsible.
Yeah.
To, like, you know, your family and all that stuff. There's a lot, bro. It's a lot.
There are. And, like, I'm not in the position of, like, expertise to maybe give this point, but and I maybe should take the advice that I give. I feel like we should be more versed in like what is happening. You know, I think a lot of this uncertainty is based around like the economy, right? And how well or how bad the economy is doing is having a dramatic impact on the way that we live our lives. I think I went to the grocery store to buy a week's worth of food that last year would have cost me about 40 quid and I ended up spending like 70. And like, it's not like you're not going to buy that stuff. It's essential.
It's essentials, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Shouts out to Fair God.
And it's essential. And like, you start to really feel the pinch. And I guess like in times that like now where, you know, tech companies are laying people off, people aren't too sure about where they want to be or where they are, mm-hmm. it puts a lot of strain on people. And I think when I say we, I'm going to generalize and say men, I think that we don't necessarily conversate about the stress or duress that we're under.
Facts.
Because we don't, number one, we know how much like other people might be dealing with stuff, but we don't want to burden other people with like how we feel, because there's almost an element of, I still am a man and I still need to show up for other people.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I have this thing of like just going through the motions of like just dealing with it.
Mm.
So I'm like, you ain't got time. I can be honest. You haven't got time to process or find pity in the situation for yourself. You have to continue to keep pushing.
Mm-hmm.
And that can have adverse effects. And I'm very aware of the adverse effects it has, because people around you start to notice, like, are you good? Like, is everything all right?
Yeah.
But you're just hyper-focused on getting yourself out of this uncertain situation. And, yeah, you're right in, especially in our upbringing where we've had, you know, we've had to get through tough circumstances just to be here.
Yeah, yeah.
And we weren't necessarily aware of the fact that we probably have a lot of trauma in certain situations.
Yeah.
It's our coping mechanism, innit? Whenever there's uncertainty, whenever there's adversity, we just attack, to your point.
Do you know what's so funny, bruv? You just said something and it just like gave me like this ding in my head, yeah? Like, growing up in South, and like from maybe 10, the age that you start to travel to school by yourself to the age that you have your own car, right? Like, and for us, it probably was like until we left, right? But there is always a level of uncertainty when you're like navigating through these streets. And I don't say that because like we know who it, like anyone or whatever. It's just that you don't know what's going to pop off. So you live in this heightened, you live in this heightened state of emergency where like you just have to have your wits about you. And I think we've normalized uncertain, like this feeling of uncertainty so much that like it's just normal. Mm-hmm. And you don't notice it until you have the wherewithal to be self-reflective and say, oh snap, like, maybe I'm stressed, or maybe this moment or this feeling that I'm going through right now is on top of me. But I think
time to process is a luxury, yeah, oftentimes.
And it came from, and you know what? It came from stepping away from this place, really and truly. Because now we're like, oh, well, like, I feel a bit off. But before, you'd be like, oh, that's nothing. You move through it. But because we had the privilege of moving abroad, living somewhere else, and spending time with ourselves, now when we feel that, it's like, okay, something has to give.
Mm-hmm.
I either need to spend time with myself, or I need to spend time with my family, or I need to give back to me, or whatever it is. But you can't keep at this level of like
intensity.
Yeah, 100%, 100%, man. And I'll be real. Like, it wasn't until maybe last week. So obviously, I've been journaling since the beginning of the year. Soon as like I started, so luckily for me, to circle back on the first point that I made about losing my job, like within 2 weeks, I like had two jobs or two projects to work on, which is like amazing, right?
It's a blessing, man.
It is a blessing. But it also came with a level of shit. Now this is on my feet and I've got to work. I stopped journaling, and it wasn't until towards the back end of like when these projects are now getting like the burdens getting shared with other people, I was like, bruv, I've been stressed. You know what I mean? I
think everyone here has been stressed.
Yeah.
Everyone here has been stressed. What did you say, Stephen? March. April soon land. Bruv, do you know what's mad, yeah? What I've realised. So I started off the year. We spoke about how... We literally had an episode where we spoke about all the new habits who's picking up, etc., etc. I've realised that as soon as your body... As soon as you get under stress, that's when you start picking up bad habits. So you said you stopped journaling.
Big facts,
bruv,
man.
Bruv, like, I can now facts. Tell within myself, like, if I want to eat some bullshit, it's probably because I'm low-key stressed.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas before, I'm like, man's not stressed. I'm the calmest guy in the room. I don't get stressed. But I can now see in, like, little behaviours of myself whereby beginning of the year, bruv, man's having grapes and an apple for dessert. Now, ask me what I want for dessert, bruv. I want some big bad cake. Bruv, I went across the road to co-op yesterday and got a fruit and nut bar from Cadbury's and waxed it off, bruv.
But you know what also I'd say? In that, and because I totally agree with you, bro, is that like sometimes it's also about balance, isn't it? It's about like allowing yourself to have those moments and not to feel like, oh, I've let myself down or I shouldn't be doing this. Because I think that when you start to judge yourself in that manner, that's when you start to go through like this cycle of like repeat and continue and doing that. But like, you go into co-op and having a fruit and nut bar, it's calm, bruv. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think we put a lot of stress on ourselves as well, on top of the fact of being in stressful situations, to want to be successful and level. To maintain a certain level that we're at. And I think it's not fair for you to, like, really, like, put so much pressure on yourself. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, we got to this place that we are, places that we're in today, through like the hard work and the hustle that we have, but then also it's okay to give yourself some grace at some point as well, you know.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's a very fair point. Stephen, talk to us about your stress.
Be stressful, innit? Where do I begin? Stress. Yeah, it's just mostly people that bring me stress. Like, people are annoying, innit? Constant messaging, reaching out, always wanting something. I think what people don't realise is that we pass on stress to other people unnecessarily. And I think for me, it's like a lot of people not understanding that I don't need more stress on my plate. So I'm like, I think people tend to think that they're asking me for one thing, but I might have... In a day, I can easily have 10 people reach out to me for one thing, and that's 10 things on top of my day. And it's just like, and then it's the same mental health warriors on social media that be like, oh, rest and recovery, and then me adding on baggage onto other people. So like, I'm like, people need to be understand
the mental health warriors.
Them ones I'll be making up big posts, and then as soon as just wanted to reach out, can I grab 10 minutes with you, or can I do this? No. Don't grab anything.
Stephen's had a real bugbear with these people for a long time, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you're speaking on this, bruv. I'm glad, because I've been seeing the Instagram notes.
Well, it's official, because I have as well. And I've been wondering, who have these indirects been after? And now we know who they are for. Those shots were firing, bruv. It's been like 4 weeks of consecutive...
Man, my favourite one was... We don't need to catch up. You need to keep up.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I was dying, bro. That was amazing.
But you know, I feel people don't understand. There's not one person in this world that is not going through something or going through stress. So I think if you're really about that, like, you need to kind of be more wary about what we're asking of people and be more gentle with each other, because I really hate it after a long day of work, I'm coming back to 7 weeks, and, you know, fam, I actually don't care, so I will just name some examples, because I do not care. I actually do not care. But from organising, like, date nights and PSG stadium to, like, I just most random requests, and I'm like, am I God? After hard days of work,
date nights at the PSG stadium?
My Drake, fam. After hard days of work, I have a mum, I have a brother, I have loved ones in my life. I need to eat as well. So, like, you parking your load on me is just, like, transferring stress. And I think notifications are a terrible thing. So, like, obviously, switching them off. But, like, my thing is just people. I just need to be in have hours where I do not come into contact with human beings, because, like, most of my life has been contact with human beings, and like, I need a break from all of that. So that's
it's really interesting to hear you say that, Stephen, because I think, like, as a group, we know we know your triggers, innit? And I think it'd be interesting to know, like, how you personally, like, give back to yourself, and how you, like negate that feeling of pressure. Because there's one thing, obviously, because I know for a fact, like, if you have had too much stimulation, your thing is to, shut down tools, innit? Like, do you give back to yourself in those moments, or is that your way of giving back? That's the question.
Yeah, so no, I'll shut it down and get back to myself for a bit. So I might go for a walk, I might start listening to music, or I might just go on a big boy sesh, as they say, and that's where I get, like, nights like the Pontiac Bandit may come out. So, like, there's several different ways, but, like, first off is, like, then I need to make sure that no one's getting in my space of, like, in my head space. So that means I'll shut down my socials, I'll kind of mute everything, and I just need to be in my world, or just, like, watching comedy, or watching something that's going to make me laugh. Or I need to just escape this world in some form. I need some form of escape, which can come from TV, nights out, or just doing something completely random.
Fair. So, like, in your stressful moments, like, you look for escapism.
Oh yeah, we all need escapism.
Yeah, 100. And yours is like some of your favorite things, like TV, cartoons, walking, sport, sesh. yeah. No, we need it, bruv. It's important, I think.
Yeah, so essentially what it used to call blowing off some proverbial steam, as they say.
I'd like to end this episode on a high. And
Wasteman.
Nice.
This little nice. Paddle boarder.
Nice.
A little paddling.
There's a flag on the play. There's a flag on the play.
No, you man, he said Paddlington Bear.
so bad, it's good.
So good.
But no, Stephen, obviously, you know, you had a great time out in Portland. What are some of the memories that stick out to you? Give us some funny excerpts that we can leave the episode on.
Okay, cool. So, like, the last night, there's famously not much to do in Portland, and, like, there's not many people of colour there. So there's a group of us, a group of Mandem from me being work. Here and then them being for the States. So we went out for an hour, and it was just good to catch up and chop it up, find out about their experiences, like that kind of like America, UK divide, find out differences, similarities. So it's good to chop it up and just, like, you know, when black people get together, there's a lot of similarities, but there's also differences. We went out, and obviously man was on the session, it. So, like, tequila shots, all of that. And then when I drink excessively, yeah.
Oh, look at him. He's trying to make a PSA. Fam, you ain't great like that.
When I drink excessively, parts of my body shut down, and one of those parts is my legs. So, I'm normally I'd say a 6 or 7 out of 10 dancer.
The man will have to get back to you on that one, big man.
It's
bar things, bar.
But on this occasion, the liquor got down to my tippy toes, and I didn't have the elevation that I normally have. So, but like they quit on 4K. The US man then.
The Soldier Boy stuff, innit? Oh,
fam, that was...
You were down bad still.
That was
terrible. Oh, he's dancing.
No, I wasn't really dancing.
Yeah,
I
had limited...
if this was the NBA, I'd be on like...
I'd be on restricted
minutes. So. There's no hardwood heat. So there's a pretty funny video. And the thing was like, the guy put it at the end, the shout out Dom put it at the end of the carousel. So I was thinking like, I can't end the carousel. How often do people see the end of the carousel? Then some of my other colleagues like picked up wind of it. And all of a sudden I'm seeing it popping up in Instagram stories. And I was just like, we're now directing traffic to this. Is this what we're doing? So that was pretty comical. And then also, I was with some female colleagues and they decided to go to a winery, and obviously, why would I go to a winery? But we move. New experiences, new year, new experiences.
I love that. I like that, man.
Huh?
I said I like that, man.
Oh, fam, this place was like peaceful out in the country, and like I felt like a real Stepford wife out there. I finally understood. I understood that lifestyle. You go out there, you just be like swelling. I was knocking back them wines.
You liked it, innit? Don't lie, you liked it.
It's very, very on brand.
Innit?
Fam, I had all kinds of cheese, Gouda, all of them things I didn't know.
Upper echelon things, yeah, bruv.
Fam, wine in different... I didn't know there was orange wine.
Yes, bro.
Like you were knocking back those Panda Pops, fam.
How are we doing that, fam?
It's getting my money's worth. Fam. I was like, I'm a leave here, son. So, like, yeah, no.
I'm right away.
So it's good to have that. I also went to like the America's biggest bookstore, which is called Powell's, and then I wandered in there, and like it is a fascinating labyrinth of American culture. Like it's functional dysfunction. Like you can go from like reading educational books to like next to those books is merchandise socks, which hit one has like I give the best blowjobs or like little random. It's weird. It was
a bookstore.
It was a weird and wonderful world.
Gonna wear socks in?
Fam, it was. I don't know how the cross merchandising was done. How someone like who's reading a business book could go from that to these socks to something else. It was weird and wonderful. It was like. What? Toys R Us for books, fam. It's all under one house.
Was wearing like really baggy wide.
I mean,
glasses.
A library or a bookstore.
I don't know what it
should
was.
Kind of be it like was, Toys R Us or fam, a bookstore.
It was a vibrary.
What?
It was a vibrary,
oh,
fam.
My
there's different vibes in there. It's a collection of vibes. An eclectic collection of vibes, fam.
Were the vibranium levels quite? Were they quite high?
Fam, you had to go in there with a radiation suit. I tell you that, fam. Hazmat on full.
Oh my god!
And then, I almost plucked up the courage because I watched a lot of American sitcoms, and they're like, "Oh yeah, clam chowder." Does anybody on this side know what clam chowder is? I do not know what it is, but I saw it for the first time, and I was just like, I didn't take it, but I was just like, this is the clam chowder that they've been going on about for a long time. Has anyone here had clam? Have you had clam chowder?
No. What's clam chowder? Explain.
I don't even know, fam. But I saw it, and it's like. Gloopy and stuff.
That's the word.
It's gloopy.
Wow. Shake my hand, you Nigerian. If I
it's
like
gloopy.
That. Look, I'm putting our thing to the side.
I pause the side, fam. And then the tipping culture, I got into it. I was just like, right, look, and they were looking at me like, oh, tip. And I was just like,
It's expected.
And it's unexpected on my part. Because I was just like, well, you kind of just did your job. I'm like, we're handing out participation ribbons.
Coming from the Nigerian prince himself.
No, I'm just like you gave. I asked for a bagel. You brought the bagel, and now there's a tip. Now there's a tip.
You know, something small, Stephen, bruv. Something small, bruv.
What I said is that the tax isn't built into the price, so you come to a till.
Oh my days! I've had a couple
with tax. That actually be like 16.32. I'm like. That's not what we agreed on.
That's a whole new game.
That's a four-year-old difference, fam.
That's a whole new price, fam.
Like, just tell me how much it is from the get-go, innit? It's very strange.
It's not strange.
It's strange.
And then it's just wonderful. And it's just like the... I love the outgoing nature of Americans. Well, they'll have a conversation, they'll speak, they'll say what's on their mind, they'll express emotions out loud in public, which is just like, I'm like, and the Brit in me is like, oh, they're awfully loud on table seven.
I wonder
if they know that they're not the only ones in this restaurant. But at the same time, I'm like, ah, oh, that's dope.
It's like a movie, bruv. Honestly,
I thought I was in GTA. Like, I thought if I bumped into a character, I'd be like, hey, watch it, pal.
Excellent.
It's just like it's a reminder that this country is just such a unique,
a hodgepodge, isn't
and
it?
Wonderful.
It's amazing,
the variation of places. I went to a place where I was expecting like a Coyote Ugly scene. I was drinking there, and I was just like, okay, cool. I shouldn't be here. And then the
Leanne Rams will come out any moment.
Then two doors down, we went for a karaoke session, an impromptu karaoke session, which turned into quite a farce, to be honest with you. Like, we went to a dingy and derelict karaoke spot.
A dive bar.
Fam, there's no scuba diving gear or nothing like
that's
that.
That's what they're
called. Dive bar.
Yeah, I told you about this.
Or a club. Let's call it a club for you.
What's a dive bar, fam?
Dive bar is just like a run-of-the-mill like place that you can go and get a drink, and it might have some like darts or...
Fam, the mill was not running. I can't even call it running. The mill was not running, fam. It was out of batteries. All out of batteries. It was a slow walk at best. There was nothing running. There was nothing running. But like, they were there, and then you had these Americans who were singing their hearts out to songs I'd never even heard about. It was like... you had your grunge scene, you had like people who just, it was a weird collection of people gathered by the sound of music. It was a wonderful, eclectic night. And basically, America's just America, fam.
Like, yeah, that's
I'm curious to see how Key, when you.
That's
I'm curious to see how you find it, Key, when you go. I think North Carolina is definitely going to be different
completely
from Portland.
Different.
Or
wait and, to hear that. East Coast.
And that's the difference, is that like you go from state to state and it's such a different thing as well. But like, it was nice to be back there because you just forget.
Country, then.
You just forget. This country's just unique, fam. It's just, it can't even just describe.
I remember one of your favorite quotes of mine in Out of Home History was when you said Nigeria is like a social experiment. would you say America is a different level to that social experiment?
It's at this point, it's not even an experiment. Like they've experimented. This is what they're into, isn't it? It's just a collection, eclectic collection of different vibes. It's just the Skittles. You don't know if you're gonna get sour, sweet, or you don't know what is in the mix. I think Nigeria is an experiment of America. Like it is. I'm confused about some of the things that happened in the week. Like, I haven't actually come to terms with it or what's happening there. But like. We need to go to America together, actually.
Yeah.
There's a couple of places. We need to go to Nigeria together,
yeah.
Number one. And then we need to go to America together.
Let's do it, man.
Oh, and we should let people vote for which state we should go to. Actually, no, some people are evil.
No.
Let's take that. Let's put that power. Fam, that's how we end up in Utah, fam. Yeah, out of home in Utah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with Utah, Stephen.
But yeah, that was that was my American adventures, and then I've learned that I'm now late booking my holidays because people booked up in July already, and I haven't even booked anything. So if
you still got time, bro.
I'm trying to go in June, fam. Is that enough time? Yeah, why not? Fuck it.
Right. The game. Well, thank you guys for your time.
It's been real,
homies, and thank you, listeners. Our lovely listeners, for tuning into the Out of Home podcast with myself, Yaf, Stephen, and Kwame. We'll be back
with some new experiences.
For sure. Peace.
You London boys are crazy.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.